really enjoyed this Christmas season. I'm excited about the message today. If you're a guest with us, we're so thankful and glad that you came to worship with us. I hope you feel right at home here in this church family. What a great place, isn't it? Love Grand Rapids Baptist Church. Well, let me just talk about a secret that I couldn't keep. One of them was when I was 21. I was about 23 years old, and I was going to ask Shonda to marry me. And we've been married 15 years this week. This week, 15 years of marriage. Man, I just love that. Yep. And I remember being able to save up enough money to buy a ring in Bible college, which is a miracle in itself. And so I went down to Williams Jeweler in Palmdale, California, and the guy who owned the jewelry store, his name was Muhammad. And he was one of these guys, kind of like you'd see in Aladdin, who would like have the coat, and inside he'd have watches and jewelry to try to sell you, you know, like a little genie in the lamp, you know. And I said, man, I need a diamond. And he laid out this nice black velvet and poured a bunch of diamonds out. And I was like, oh, my eye caught one of them. And then we put the whole thing together, a whole set. And I bought it, paid cash for it, because I worked at this grocery store as a manager. This grocery store in California called Ralph's. What a name for a grocery store, right? Ralph's. Like, when I think of Ralph, I think of, like, Ralphing, you know? But it's actually a high-end grocery store in California, and I worked as a night manager there in Bible college, and I saved up enough money to buy this ring, but I had to keep the ring in my dorm room for, like, 3 weeks. And I'll tell you, that was the hardest thing I could ever do. I'd showed all my friends. Everybody saw the ring except for Shonda. And I just couldn't wait. For 3 weeks, I sat there thinking about, I could not wait to give her this ring, to ask her to marry me. And I remember taking her to Disneyland. And by the way, I drove this like hunky rust box jalopy of a car. You could see the ground, like the ring was worth more than my car that I drove. And I drove down to her house. We drove down to Disneyland. It was like December 23rd. Thank you, Jamie. 2003. And we're right there at Disneyland, and they have this big, gigantic tree and a Santa sleigh, and I asked her to marry me right there in the Santa sleigh, but I couldn't wait. I was scared to death, by the way. I was shaking. Like, I was just like, And I wanted to make it perfect, you know? But I couldn't wait to give her that gift. It was a gift I couldn't keep secret. I had to tell everybody. How many of you have ever been there before? You had something you just couldn't wait to tell people. Oh, really? Okay. Doug and April, you have something to tell us?
She don't know how to keep a secret.
Yeah, like you guys got, she can't keep a secret. Well, Doug and April got married this last week on Sunday night. We're thankful for them. Sunday night, got married. I know my wife doesn't like secrets. If I put a present under the tree with her name on it, it's like she has to know what it is. She doesn't like surprises. Anybody like that? You don't like surprises? You just got to know, okay? I like surprise. I like being surprised. I enjoy that. Well, let me just talk to you about this story of Christmas, the greatest gift ever given to man that the shepherds couldn't keep quiet about. They just had to tell everybody because it was that good. It was that amazing. Christmas, the story of Christmas, is God with us to die for us, watch this, that he might live in us. Amen. Christianity or the Bible or Jesus is not just some religious ceremonialism. It's a relationship that me dwelling in Christ and Christ dwelling in me. That there is a relationship there. And by the way, transformation happens in the context of relationship, and that's what this Bible is all about. Listen, the Bible is not the end. The Bible is a means to an end. And the end is relationship with God, relationship with man. That's why the whole Ten Commandments is wrapped up in two. Love God and love others, right? The Bible teaches us how to have healthy relationships with God and with each other. Boy, Christmas time is one of those times where the relationships are strained, aren't they? I know January 1st is the time where most divorces are applied for. People kind of hold on through the Christmas season, just kind of keep the peace until then. We're going to start new. There's a lot of relational strain. How many of you guys are thankful the Bible The Holy Spirit, God has an answer to all of those relationship issues. So what is the story of Christmas? The story of Christmas is Jesus Christ, God himself, coming down to the manger, dying on a cross, raising again from the grave for the sole purpose of restoring our relationship with God that was broken by sin. How awesome is that? That's the story of the Bible, how God redeemed us and loves us unconditionally. Wow. What if you had a story that could change not just your life, but other people's lives? What if you had a gift that wouldn't just change your life, transform your life, but would transform other people's lives? That's exactly what we see in these verses. I want to read the verses to you. There's this group of people who were completely transformed by the birth of Jesus, and I want you to see that story in Luke 2, verses 8 through 15. Look what it says. Luke 2, look in verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." That's an important piece to the story today. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now, how many of you would be totally afraid if an angel all of a sudden appeared to you at night? And they thought, we ate something tonight. We shouldn't have eaten. What is going on? Had some shrooms or something. Verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you" what? Good tidings. Good tidings. This isn't bad news. This is good news. By the way, that's what gospel means. The gospel means good news. This is good news. Boy, the world needs good news today. "Of great joy, which shall be to" how many people? No. Just a select few, right? Just the ones that God chooses. Or is this for all people? I looked up the word "all" in the Greek. You wouldn't believe what it says. Yeah, it means all. Good job. Wow. You guys are theologians. Look at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, peace." Now, by the way, has there been peace in the Middle East? No. So is the Bible lying? No. But God does give us a peace individually that passeth understanding. We will not understand or know the national peace until Jesus is in Jerusalem ruling. Amen. So let's just continue on. And it says, "Goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them of heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Could you imagine that, ladies? You just had a baby and a bunch of shepherds are going to come check them out. That's the last thing you wanted to happen when you just had a baby. "And they came with haste." They showed up unexpectedly. "And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it," they made, look at this. We couldn't keep the gift secret. "They made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Lord, I pray that this morning you would show us from your word what you want us to learn. The underlying timeless truth here that we could apply to our life. And Lord, thank you for giving these stories for our learning. And Lord, thank you for the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the non-Jewish gospel writer, who really appealed to those who felt insignificant in life. And thank you so much for using people we would least expect. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what was the good news? What did the shepherds have to tell everybody about? Well, it was that God is with us. Okay? The angels say that his name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Can you imagine that? God left the celestial heavens to come down to this nasty, dirty, sin-filled earth to come live with us, go through all the pain and suffering and trials that we all go through so that he could die on a cross, raise from the grave to restore relationship with us, and then promise those who get saved eternity with him in heaven. How awesome is that? There is no doubt that God loves us. I love what Acts 4:12 says. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is?
Jesus.
The name is Jesus. There's no other name that could save us. There's no other person that ever lived on the earth that has the power to redeem sinful men other than the power of God himself, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, died voluntarily on the cross, shed his atoning blood for our sins, rose again from the grave, conquering death so we can have eternal life. What an amazing story! What a great time to celebrate Christmas. So, what are some thoughts we can gain from this story? Well, number one, the gift is for everyone. This gift of Jesus is for everyone. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, as soon as Jesus was born, the first group to learn about the good news of Jesus was a few shepherds out tending their flocks. It wasn't the political leaders of the day. It wasn't the theologians. It wasn't the scholars. It was a few shepherds. You say, what's so significant about that, Pastor? An event of this magnitude, where our entire calendar, even today, revolves around the birth of Jesus Christ, would at least require the invite of the most celebrated or well-regarded of the day. Would you guys agree? Something of this magnitude that has been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years, that the Messiah would come deliver the Jews from bondage. You would think they would at least go tell a prophet. Tell somebody of esteem. But the first people the angels tell are shepherds. According to the Jewish Talmud, shepherds were considered unclean. In fact, shepherds were never allowed to worship in the temple courts with everybody else because they were considered to be unclean. They were social outcasts of the day. They were considered dirty. It was the lowest job of all the brothers of David. All of David's brothers got to be in war, but David had to be left tending to the sheep. They were considered dirty. They were considered untrustworthy. So the question is, why does Luke highlight the shepherds? Why does he show us this story as other gospels really don't? What's Luke communicating? What's he saying? That God's love does not discriminate on the basis of status, of wealth, or social influence. Amen. That God's love is unconditional for every single human on earth, regardless of where they came from or what they look like or what they've ever done. God is no respecter of persons. And this was transformative in the Jewish culture because Jews didn't fellowship with other people who weren't Jews. Even half-Jews, Samaritans, they considered as dogs. This is why it's so significant when you look in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, a man by the name of Cornelius who fasted for 4 days and the angel said, we heard your prayer, sent Peter over to Cornelius and Peter recognized that even non-Jewish people were inheriting salvation. And I want you to see this verse in Acts 10:34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is what? There's no respecter of persons. Peter is saying, I see now that when Jesus died, he died for everybody. Not just the Jewish people. He died for the Gentile. That there's no difference between the Greek and the Jew. Free or slave. God died for every single person. Who is this gift for? It's for everybody. Everybody. There's not one person that God died for that is exempt from his sacrifice and his grace. God loves everybody. I like what Romans 5:8 it says. It says, but God commendeth or showed, the word commendeth means he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, there was no prerequisite to earning his favor or acceptance. He, in fact, what it's saying is he loved you even though you were a sinner. This isn't the idea. The Bible doesn't teach this idea of I got to get my life right, then I can offer myself to God. God's like, no, offer yourself as you are to me and I'll fix you up. I'll help you. I'll fill that void for you. Because the gospel, the message of Christmas, is for everybody. Not one person is exempt from it. This means the gospel's for you. And you may feel worthless, unnoticed. You may feel like maybe you feel alone this Christmas, although you have people around you. You may feel like the outcast. And let me just say this to you, you're exactly who the gospel is for. Amen. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save sinners. And the fact is, everybody has sinned. It's the difference is those who recognize it and those who don't. And those who recognize they're a sinner, God's like, that's who I came for. I came for you. I want to save you. I want to save you. You can't be saved if you don't recognize that you're a sinner. One of the requirements to being saved, being born again, is to recognize that you're a sinner. All of the law, when you see in the Bible, all the laws and the rules are to highlight the fact and the idea that we are sinful. Okay? But God doesn't leave us there. How many of you guys are thankful for that? That he said, now I am the answer to your problem. You accept me, all of that sin is washed away. If you think that we can save ourselves, okay, that you can save yourself through your good works, that's self-righteous works, then what's the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross? What's the purpose of his work? What Paul says is that it's vain. Everything Jesus did is vain if we could earn it ourselves. How many of you guys are thankful that Jesus paid for your sin on the cross himself and paid it in full? That's the greatest gift. He was born so that he could die. The purpose of his birth was so he could die for us. And that gift is for anyone and everyone. By the way, the good news is for anybody in your life too. Maybe you feel like you can identify a little bit with the shepherds, like, man, I'm just kind of unnoticed, you know, just got a few friends on social media. I just feel like an outcast. Maybe you feel like the black sheep of your family. I love this, that God accepts anybody into his family. Amen. But let me just say this. Maybe you're saved. You have the answer. You have the gospel. And you and I carry the responsibility of sharing that with everybody that we know as well. Say, who's the gospel for? Everybody in your family. The people that you're going to spend Christmas with that frustrate the fire out of you. That's who the gospel's for. Now, Jesus loved. Now, by the way, we're not to give it to them like in spite. Like, you know what you need? You need the gospel, so I'm going to give it to you. I don't think anybody's going to get saved that way. If you love them, okay, that's how they're going to know you're come from God. But I'll tell you, this means the gospel, this story tells us the gospel is for you, it's for me, it's for everybody. Number two, the gift requires a faith response. The gift requires a faith response. Notice when the message came to the angel, to the shepherds, how did they respond? What'd they do? Well, they said, let's do something about it. Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see the child, right? And then once they saw the child, what'd they do, Jamie? They spread the word. They told everybody about it. In other words, the gospel or the gift requires a faith response. Have you ever gone somewhere or seen something and you were highly disappointed with it? Or you had an expectation and then that expectation wasn't met? Has anybody else experienced that before? That happened to me like 3 years ago when I took my wife to the Nutcracker. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the advertisements are like, the Nutcracker, and my wife loves the Nutcracker. She's seen it before, knows the movie, knows all the songs. I didn't know that. I didn't grow up watching the Nutcracker, you know? I grew up watching like Waterboy and Ace Ventura, you know? It's like Christmas movies were like Die Hard. That's what I watched. Die Hard's the greatest Christmas movie ever. My wife it's the Nutcracker, you know? Now, I haven't seen Die Hard in a long time, so if you watch it and you see something bad, that don't look. I haven't seen it in 20 years. Okay, so anyway. So I'm like, oh, this will be a special night. We got tickets. I took her up to Cygnus 27. We had a really nice meal, and then we walked over to the DeVos Performance Hall, and we sat in the auditorium, and there's the orchestra and everything. I was like, you know, this is going to be good. You know, this is going to be great. And the whole thing started, and people were dancing around, and they were dancing still, Men in Tights came out. They were like jumping and doing this little thing, you know? Was that good, Jamie? I know. It almost, yeah. I did realize that when I watch football, it's Men in Tights as well. So I can't knock them. Those guys have tights on, you know? So, you know, I'm watching them dance around and dance around. And it's like, okay. And she's trying to explain, like, what's happening in the scenes and stuff because they weren't talking. So I look over at my wife and I said, honey, are they gonna talk? And she said, no, it's a ballet. I said, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, and it was like after an hour, it was like, okay. It was like the curtain went down. I was like, all right, time to go. She said, that's halftime. I was like, what? Okay, she didn't say halftime. She said it was like an intermission or something like that. You had to go get a snack and go round two. Round two, so we watched the rest of the Nutcracker, and I was like, I was so disappointed because I had an expectation that wasn't met. I thought they were going to talk. I thought it was a play, not a ballet. Then my wife went our way home. She goes, now you know how I feel when you watch football. You just want us to bring nachos to you while you're watching football. I was like, that's how I feel, you know? I'm like, wow, I totally get it now. Like, I was disappointed. The fact of the matter is, with the shepherds, they were not disappointed at all with the story. They weren't disappointed when they saw, oh, that was it, just a little baby, you know, because they understood the significance of it. It was probably more than they imagined. An angel came to them. They saw the Savior, the Messiah that was promised, that they knew from Scripture. I mean, this was incredible, incredible news. They weren't disappointed. And I believe this, they weren't disappointed because they responded by faith. They did something about what they heard. And I think that's what a lot of Christians miss. We hear the story, but we do nothing about it. And that's how we miss out on the story and on the gift. They could have doubted. They could have questioned. Thought it was kind of far-fetched, you know. They could have deferred. You know, we'll go tomorrow. We don't need to go tonight. We got sheep and, you know, we got a lot of responsibility. But they went that night. They could have denied, you know, this isn't really for me. You know, this why us? Like, why doesn't, like, maybe it's other, maybe they expected other people to show up too. But the shepherds believed, and watch this, it changed their lives. We don't know the rest of their story, but they went and told everybody about it. I don't know if some of them maybe ended up in the ministry, or some of them left shepherding and went out to be fishers of men. Maybe one of them was a disciple of Jesus. Who knows? But I do want to say this. When it comes to enjoying the gift that God's given us, we have to respond by faith. And faith is not what you believe or what you say, it's what you do. Amen. Your belief does affect your behavior. What I believe will affect what I do. Okay, but faith isn't believing God can, it's acting on the belief that He will. Amen. In other words, faith has feet to it. That's why James says, you can say you have faith. You can say that, but I'll show you my faith by my what? Works. Faith without works is dead. In other words, he's not saying that salvation is a works-based salvation. He's saying that salvation is an evidence-based salvation. Amen. That there is some evidence to your salvation. That if you're going to say you have faith, there is some action placed on that. The shepherds heard the story, and then acted upon it. They went to Bethlehem, they saw the baby, and then told everybody about it. They didn't just believe it, they did something about it. That's what God blesses. Watch this. God blesses your faith. In other words, He doesn't just bless what you believe in your mind and in your heart, He blesses what you do. Amen. In other words, you're like, I believe by faith God's going to mend my marriage. That's great that you believe that, but what steps, what actions are you taking to help fix it that God will bless? Like, I know that God could save everybody in Grand Rapids in West Michigan, but what steps of faith are we taking as a church that God could bless by faith? God doesn't bless the fact that we sit here in the holy huddle believing He will. It's acting on the belief that He will. It's doing something about it. You can't say, God, just bless my finances. Lord, I believe that You are going to come down, send a check in the mail, and you're going to do it. No, you know what God blesses? You going out finding a job. Amen. By the way, unemployment's down to like 3.2%. There's more jobs today than there are people available. There's places like Star Truck Rental, just so you know, they're hiring like $27 an hour just to change oil because they can't find people to work. And all the teenagers were like, wait, where? Where? Here's the fact. And even when on a down economy, God will still bless your faith. I remember when I didn't have a job in Bible college and I needed one bad. And I remember talking to one of my professors and he says, how many hours a week do you want to work? I said, 40. He goes, well, then be out 40 hours a week looking. So I get out of school, get my little lunch bag, and I would go out for 40 hours, put in 8 hours looking for a job. You know, God blessed me with a job within a day. See, here's the thing. God doesn't bless the fact that I believe. He blesses the fact that we move. And so when the shepherds moved, when they went to Bethlehem, they saw the baby. It affected their heart, affected their life, and they told everybody, that's what God blesses. You say, well, I want to witness to people, but it's just scary, and I understand that, but God blesses the action of doing it. You might not see him saved right there, but God will do something with that. In other words, there are some seeds maybe planted, or maybe you watered a seed, and in 20 years down the road, they will get saved because you planted 20 years before. But God will bless your faith. Not what you believe, but what you do. There's a lot of college students in this room, you know, and we're getting close to, you know, final exams, right? Because I'm right there with you. And I got my test this next Friday, and it's hard, and it's there's moments of frustration and almost bringing us to tears, right? maybe I'm the only one, you know, I'm like, this is difficult. What's difficult for me is not putting together all the information, it's the formatting. I hate the formatting. They use this Turabian formatting, and I can never get it right. It's horrible. And so I spend I spend more time formatting than actually writing the paper, and it's just so frustrating for me. So anyway, but here's the thing. God will bless your action. So what did the shepherds do? They moved. It required a faith response. And number three, I want to just mention this. The gift must be shared with others. The gift must be shared with others. I love the fact that they came and saw the baby. And in verse 17, it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. In other words, they told everybody about it. In other words, this gift isn't just to be hoarded for ourselves. It's to be shared with everybody that we know. Now, I know that most people have heard the story. I know that. We're in West Michigan. Little Jerusalem, isn't that what they call it? Everybody in West Michigan has somehow heard the story. I know there's a lot of people who haven't. But, I mean, we lived in Las Vegas for, you know, 5 years, and it was very typical for us to run into somebody who's never heard the story before. It was exciting to tell the story to them. And in fact, we'd ask him, you know, do you believe God loves you? Well, I think so. And we'd show him from the Bible that he does. And then we would ask him, do you believe you're a sinner? And they're like, that's why we moved here. You know, this is why we're here. It's like, yes, I definitely know that. You know, had no problem convincing them of that, but that Jesus died on a cross for them, rose again from the grave. And a lot of them, when they finally got to the end of their lifestyle, that it was so unfulfilling, so detrimental to their soul, they finally would come to the Lord and get saved, and it was awesome. But in West Michigan, you find a lot of people know the story. They get used to it. And maybe what they've never heard before is this, that this story is for them. Although they've heard the story of Jesus, of Christmas, that they don't understand or know that story, that Jesus, that baby, was born to die on the cross for them. That when he died on the cross, he died thinking of their name and their soul and their life. That is personal to them. And maybe that's the story you need to tell people that are in your life, that in your workplace, that in your neighborhood. Maybe they heard the story, but they have never applied it personally to their life. That this gospel is not just a religious thing. You know, a lot of people are like, yeah, I just don't know about being part of a church, you know, like, I don't want to be part of some any kind of religious organization. I don't like organized religion. Well, good, because we're really disorganized. You'll love our place. We just let you know. I'm just kidding. We're not disorganized. But people say that because, you know, I don't need church to have a relationship with God. And that's very true. But I don't know anybody who has a relationship with God who doesn't want to be around God's people. I love being around you guys. I love you, Jamie. By the way, Jamie is one of the first people to get saved in our ministry. Knocked on her door 8 years ago, right over here off Breton Road. And she thought I was like one of the neighbor kids or something like that. She said, what do you want? I was like, oh, I'm from Breton Road Baptist. I want to invite you to church. She came and got saved. It's pretty awesome. That's why we're here. And now she's part of the family. We're supposed to tell people about it. So what do you do with good news? What do you do with the awesome gift? Yeah. You talk about it. Because of Jamie, I know that there's quite a few people here because of her witness. It's pretty awesome. Maybe we often don't share it because we just got used to it. And this is, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on it. I just want to just maybe just observe this. Like maybe we've gotten so used to it that it doesn't really mean much to us anymore. And I think that some barriers to sharing the gospel with somebody is we become apathetic to the whole story that you got saved. I was 21 when I got saved. That was like the most exciting day of my life outside of getting married to Shonda. Like it was so awesome to get saved. And there have been times in my Christian life where I've lost that excitement. Anybody else like that? You know what I do when I've lost my excitement? I just look back on this story and think about what he's done for me. That's why we're having this service today, to just remind us, look what he's done for us. Nobody on earth loves you more than Jesus. And his love has never, ever changed. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll have people in your life who come and go, but Jesus never will. Right now, as we're talking, he's building us a mansion in heaven. How cool is that? Can't wait for you to get there to spend eternity with him. What an amazing story. How could we not want to share that with others? The reason why we should share that with others is because if they don't have Christ, they live for eternity separated from God. How could we not want others to have that, have what we have? I mean, you think about it. I think that a lot of people don't share the gospel because we're not excited about having it. So why would we want other people to have it? But when you realize what you have in Christ Jesus, you have everything for life and happiness living inside of you. You can't help but want that for other people. When you see people today, these are good gospel entrances. When you see people today in depression, Grand Rapids is number one in the country for diagnosed depression. Number one, 25% of the city is clinically diagnosed with depression. Dr. Verl's got his hands full right here, okay? Listen, there are people today who have been trying to fill the void in their soul with everything out there and find it to be extremely empty. And you carry the answer, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to fill that void. And all you have to do is open your mouth and tell them the story. That's it. Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. And by the way, it's up to them to get saved. But it's our responsibility to share it with others. I love that the shepherds just spread it abroad. Just let everybody know about the Messiah coming. I think a lot of times we don't share the gospel because we're afraid. I don't think anybody, any Bible-believing Christian in this room is rebellious towards giving the gospel. I don't think anybody here is thinking, I'm not going to give anybody the gospel. You know, like, I'm just going to defy God and I don't care about anybody. I don't think anybody in here is like that. But I do think that a lot of us don't share the gospel because we're afraid of what others will think of us when we do share it. Think we're religious nuts, we're a bunch of crazies, we take this too seriously. But let me tell you something, who cares what they think? They need to hear the good news. We have to divorce ourselves from public opinion and do what God says. Why? Because we love them. I'm not saying to change your personality. You be you. You say it the way that God has designed you, okay? But at least tell somebody this Christmas. I think one of the greatest gifts you can give back to God is to tell somebody else about God. Tell them what God did for them. This is why God asks us to get baptized. I believe the main reason he asks us to get baptized is so we could tell everybody what God's done in our life. And maybe the way you share the gospel with others is just to tell them what God has done for you. Look, I don't know everything, but this all I know is this is what God's done for me. And if you want that, this is how I got saved. And you share with them how you got saved. And you say, do you want to get saved? And they'll get saved. That's what happened to Brittany Yenser. I know Emily Tedding is a coworker of hers and continued to invite her to church and share the gospel with her, and Brittany got saved. This is how people get saved. Now, this is an old, you know, probably overused illustration, but it's so perfect for this. I mean, if you had the cure to cancer, I mean, you had the cure, like not only for you, but also for everybody else, so that they may live. Wouldn't you want to share that with the world? Wouldn't I want to share that with the world? That's exactly what we have. We have the cure to something that's more devastating than cancer. We have the cure to sin, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Something that no religion in the world could ever offer a human other than what Jesus has done for them. We have the answer. We get to share that with them. I'll just end with this. I was 21 when I got saved. And I got saved because somebody shared the gospel with me. Somebody didn't hold the gift in for themselves, but shared it with me. My wife, at 18 years old, got saved, 17 years old. Because somebody came to her high school, invited her to church, and that Sunday came to church in like 1999 and got saved. We didn't grow up going to church, but somebody shared the gospel with us. And look at us. I mean, I don't think we're anything special. At least I'm not. She is. But it really changed my life. Look what I'm doing. It's funny because like in high school, I don't think nobody in my high school would have thought I was going to be a pastor. I'm like the least likely to become a pastor for my high school. And look what the gospel did. And I'm not saying this, it's anything on me. It's what God has done. Man, I my life would have been a wreck without Jesus. And I think a lot of you could say the same thing. So instead of complaining about the world's problems, we have the solution. Why don't we just share it with people? Why don't we just let them know about the great gift of Jesus Christ? So let me just end with this. If you're sitting here today and you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, it's personal, you've accepted Him, you've called upon Him as your Lord, what you're saying is, I'm forsaking everything else out there to satisfy my soul. And Jesus, I want to be a follower of you. I'm giving my life to you. That's what I did when I was 21. That's what my wife did at 18. And that's what many people in this room have done in their life without regret. I'll tell you, it's changed my life. And if you haven't done that, you could do that today. At the very end of the service, we're going to have these little banners up here that says pray. I'll be up here. A few of our leadership will be up here. We'd love, at the end of the service, when everybody's leaving, you can come up here and say, Pastor, you shake my hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to get saved. Do you want to tell me more about being saved? I'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you have a home in heaven. You are saved, born again. We'll show you that. And maybe some of you are sitting here today thinking, man, I got to share this gift with somebody. The last time I shared the gospel with somebody is I don't even remember when. I want to encourage you and challenge you to not keep the story for yourself, but to share it with others, spread it abroad like thee. And say, well, who's the gospel for? Who should I share it with?
Everyone.
It's for everyone.